Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
She is a living, breathing, walking miracle that the enemy would try to take out but fail at every turn. This Texas-born spitfire would not be silenced, but with a God-given mantle of evangelism and an anointing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, would travel the globe taking this message to millions, with signs and wonders following, healing and deliverance, and a movement for Jesus that would bring over 500,000 to the steps of Washington, D.C., in a cry for holiness in our homes, in government, and in our nation. Here to share her amazing story in part one of my two-part conversation is Senior Pastor and Bishop of Rock Church International, evangelist and author of her newly released Born to Preach, my honored guest, Bishop Ann Jimenez. Bishop Jimenez, it is a great honor to have you with us here today, and I have my dear friend Jackie Mitchum-Yockey to thank for putting this in touch. May I call you Ann?
Oh, please, please do, yes.
Okay. Well, Ann, you have led an amazing life of overcoming, which is what testimony is all about, and Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Would you begin to tell us your story, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, your call to the ministry, and what readers can expect to find out about you in reading your book, Born to Preach? And then for part two, Bishop Ann, I'd like to take our listeners on more of your journey, overcoming a life-threatening illness in 2010, and your resurrection of the Rally for Jesus you founded 30 years ago, only this time on the steps of Freedom's Capital, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in October of this year. Ann, would you please tell us that story?
Thank you, Jensine, for this opportunity. And I'm a miracle. I was born during the Depression. My mother and father, they had one little girl, and when they found out they were going to have another child, my father did everything he could to get my mother to have an abortion. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't a Christian. He didn't know anything about Christ at all. He just felt he couldn't feed one more mouth. But, you know, God intervened, and I believe many times the enemy tries to kill those who really have a call of God on their life, like Moses and others, you know, kill them before they can be effective. Mm-hmm. But I grew up in a house. It was not a bad home, but it didn't have Christianity or Jesus in it. However, I had an aunt that lived out a little ways out of Houston, Texas, where I was born and raised. And my aunt would get me and take me to vacation Bible school every summer. That's all the church that I ever had. But, you know, when you get a child's heart when they're young, I really gave my heart to the Lord. And, by the way, I was saved under the ministry of John Hagee's father, Bethel Hagee. He was the pastor of a little Assembly of God church in Channelview, Texas.
Wow.
And so I really gave my heart to the Lord. But then my family moved down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and I became just like every other teenager. I no longer had any really spiritual influence in my life, and my parents didn't go to church. I'd never seen my father in church, and my mother wasn't allowed to go to church. So I was unchurched most of my childhood. But when I was 16, Jensine, I got real sick. And, you know, God knows how to get us. He knows when we've gone along far enough, and He wants to change our life. And I was very sick. My sister told me, she said, you know, there's a tent revival over a few blocks away in front of the college. She said, you ought to go there and get prayed for. That was 1949, and I was just 16 years old, a senior in high school. And I walked over to that tent revival. Frieda Lindsay and Gordon Lindsay with Daisy and Till Osborne and they were just starting out in the ministry. And I went on Saturday afternoon, and I thought they would pray for people, but they didn't pray for people. Mrs. Lindsay ministered on receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew about it. I'd heard about it. I'd heard people speak in other tongues, but I thought you had to be almost angelic to receive it. And, of course, I knew I wasn't anywhere near angelic, so I didn't think that I could ever be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was just, won't do much. Mm-hmm. But she explained it and made it so simple and so easy. And she said, you have not because you ask not.
Amen.
She said, you get into His presence, and the way you get in His presence is with praise and thanksgiving. And then when you're in His presence, He said He to ask. And when you ask, He said, open wide your mouth, and He'll fill it. And He said, the Holy Spirit will give you utterance. Well, I thought, I had living faith. I thought everybody else might happen, but it wouldn't happen to me. But I went back in the little prayer tent, and after they were praying for a lot of people in there, and I started to get up and walk home. But just as I started to get up from my knees, a voice inside said, you haven't really done what she's told you to do. And she had said, you've got to get in the Spirit first to receive the Holy Spirit. And the way you get in the Spirit, you begin to praise and worship God. You enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And Jensine, I just began to praise the Lord. I never heard anybody really praise God out loud even. Mm-hmm. But I began to praise the Lord, and I praised Him out loud, and I got so caught up. In my heart, I began saying, God, this is so wonderful. It doesn't matter whether you heal me or not. I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I heard someone speaking in other tongues, and I decided it wasn't going to bother me. And then I realized it was me. I didn't know when He baptized me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how long I was on my knees, but when I got up and to walk home, I had to sit on the bench a little while because my legs had gone numb. I'd been on my knees so long. And I walked home the 4 or 5 blocks it was. When I went in the front door, my mother was coming across the kitchen, from the kitchen across the dining room. She had been cleaning. It was a Saturday afternoon. And I looked at her and I said, guess what? She looked at me a long moment, then two big tears started down her face. She said, you've got the Holy Ghost. I said, I sure do. Put my hands up and started speaking in tongues again. Nobody ever told me that you speak in tongues more than the one time you receive it. But I just kept speaking in tongues. When I'd come home from school, I'd go in my bedroom, close the door, get down by the side of my bed and start praying. I wanted to know if I still had it. And sure enough, in just a few minutes, the Holy Spirit would just come up, and I just began to praise the Lord in that heavenly language. Well, that was the beginning. And when my father found out I was going to a Pentecostal church, he just got livid with rage. He did everything he could to keep me from it. But God had a plan for my life, and I got in a little church, went there 15 years, and I did everything. Anything that was pertaining to ministry, if they were going to sweep water out, if they want somebody to make an airport run, if they're going to scrape gum off the benches, I was going to be there. I knew from a little girl that I had a call of God on my life. And I had a minister ask me, said, how long did you know it? And I told him, as long as I can remember, I knew that I was called of God and that one day I would preach. My mother asked me what I wanted for graduation. I said, I want suitcases. Now, I wasn't ready to go anywhere, but I was going to be ready if God ever opened the door for me. And, Jensen, looking back, I realized that being in that church and under that pastor, it was like a Bible school for me. I had every opportunity to do things for God. We had street meetings, and we had jail meetings, and then we'd go other little towns and preach in the little churches all around. And but then after the years began to go by, my friends began to get married, and that didn't bother me so much when I was in my 20s. But then they began to have their babies, and the enemy worked on my mind. So they're all married and having children, and you're not married. You're single because you want to be in the ministry. And I really had to pray to get victory. When I was 30 years old, God spoke to my heart and said, you're going out in full-time ministry. A few months later, God opened a door for me to go to a church in Houston, Texas. And I went to that little church to be their youth pastor. And but I asked them if, before I came there, I'd been invited to preach a revival at the same little church in Channelview, Texas, that I had been saved in. So I went out to preach that revival, First revival I ever preached. I didn't have a portfolio. I'd never been to Bible school. My schooling had just been practical, doing it, you know, in the church. Every opportunity I got, youth leader, nursery worker, Sunday school teacher, song leader, preached for the pastor when he was gone, preached on his radio program when he wasn't there. Every one of those things that was a challenge, but I look back, and it's what got me ready for what God had for me. And then I had the opportunity to go be a youth pastor in Houston. Went out to Channelview a week before, preached a meeting. I preached 13 times in 1 week. They wanted to service every morning and every night. When I got done, I said, oh, God, I wanted to preach, but I didn't want to die in the first revival. But God did marvelous things in that revival. Started out in a little theater building that had been remodeled. They had about 25 or 35 people when I went there. And I preached starting Tuesday morning, every morning, and every night through the next weekend. And by the end of the week, Jensen, they were coming in from shift work and the refineries all around down there in the Ship Channel area by Houston, Texas. People were coming, and we had that auditorium almost full by the end of the week. It was my first revival. And I really think God just really showed me that he could do it. I couldn't do it, but he could, and he would do it. Then I went into Houston and preached 2 weeks. The first week, the pastor took up an offering for me every night after I preached, he'd take up an offering. And at the end of the first week, he said, you know, he said, I think we ought to go another week. And I tell you what, I'll give you one check next week. I won't pay you this week. I'll give you a check at the end of 2 weeks. Well, I didn't know what to say. I just agreed. And I preached hard the next week. He took up an offering every night. There were people from around the area that knew me that came, and he'd take pledges. And I knew he took up a good offering for me both weeks. But the last Sunday night when I preached, he gave me an envelope. And I was staying in the pastor's house, so we all went to bed. I just put the envelope on the dresser. I didn't look at it. But the next morning I got up to leave. They knew I was going to Victoria, Texas, to hold a week's revival. And then I was supposed to come back there and be their youth pastor. But when I got up, nobody got up to say goodbye. Nobody said a word. Went out and went, drove ways and stopped to fill up with gas. And I decided I'd open that envelope, and I would see what he had given me. And for the 2 weeks of preaching, he had given me $100 a week. And I knew that my friends that had come, I knew they had given far beyond that in the pledges that they all had made. And they just brought tears to my eyes. I said, God, this man, he didn't do me right. And I was driving along the highway, and I was going up to Victoria, Texas, and I just said, God, please say something to me. And I took my Bible and put it on the steering wheel, and I opened it up, put my finger down. And Jensen, I put my finger on the scripture in Psalms 105, where it says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He said, daughter, don't you worry. I'm going to take care of you, and I'll take care of him.
And I want to thank you so much for being with us on Testimony today. I think this is a good place to stop. We'll pick up next week with Bishop Ann Jimenez, Senior Pastor of Rock Church International in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and author of her newly released Born to Preach. And thank you for being with us today on Testimony.
Thank you. Thank you.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JenSineBard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. Do you have doubts as to why you were born? Do you ever wonder what it's all about and what is God up to? Ever had to suffer through a life-threatening illness and barely make it out alive? No thanks to the doctors who had given you up for dead? Or how about stepping into a marriage solely by faith, knowing if you missed hearing God, it could be the end of all you worked for in your ministry and perhaps in your life. Here to share more of her amazing and miraculous story in part two of this week's testimony is Senior Pastor and Bishop of Rock Church International, evangelist, preacher, and author of her newly released Born to Preach, and my honored guest, Bishop Ann Jimenez. And welcome back to Testimony.
Thank you so much, Jensen. I'm delighted to be with you to share my story.
Well, I just loved what you had to share in part one. No one is going to tell me that you were not born to preach, because, madam, you are, and I love it. And I know our listeners are loving this. And in this segment, I would love for our listeners to hear more of your story. You had an almost fatal near-death experience in 2010, and then I'd like for you to talk about how you met your husband and the Rally for Jesus that you co-founded with the late Bishop Jimenez that you will be hosting in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in October of this year. Can you please, Ann, tell us that story?
Yes. Jensen, when I was just a little over 30 years old, I quit my job and went out as an evangelist. I traveled 3.5 years by myself all over the country, from Canada to Jamaica and Mexico, and preached all up down the East Coast. And after I had been out in ministry 3.5 years, I met John Jimenez. And John was traveling with a young group of young men. All of them were ex-drug addicts, which lived in another world than I did. But John and I knew each other 2.5 years. He went to Bible school at Elam Bible School up in Lima, New York, and it was the story's in the book, Born to Preach. But it was it's a remarkable story. John had a lot of problems. There was one point, Jensen, when before we were married, he was in New York and he called me and he said, "Ann, will you come and get me? I'm in trouble." And I was at the Bible school in Lima, New York. I got another young man from his group to ride to New York with me. We drove up and down about 4:30 in the morning, Fox Street, looking for John. He had never told me where he was. He was just in the neighborhood, in the hood. And we drove looking, thinking, how will we ever find a needle in a haystack? Jensen, I had stopped suddenly at a red light, and a shadowy figure stumbled across the street in front of me, and I looked, and it was John Jimenez. We got him in the car and took off. He had taken an overdose. He was in the city, and he was high. He was so in such a... We got him in the car. I drove 6 hours to get him to Pennsylvania to a pastor's house that I knew would take him. And on the way there, he kept saying, "When are we going to get married, babe?" Because we talked about it before, but I just... I wanted to get him out of my life. And I, to keep him quiet and go to sleep, I said, "In about a month." That was on August the 1st. And I left him there. I went to Canada and preached the revival. He called me after several weeks. He said, "Ann, I've had a miracle experience with God." And God had so, God gave him a vision. And when I got back to where he was in Pennsylvania in a few weeks, I looked at his face. I looked at his eyes. I heard his voice. And I knew God had changed him totally. And Jensen, we were married 40 years. John passed away about 3.5 years ago, but we were married 40 years. We founded the Rock Church in Virginia Beach. We came at the invitation of Dr. Pat Robertson, and God blessed us. John did the Great Washington for Jesus rallies in the 80s and 90s, and he told me before he passed, he said, "Ann, somebody's going to call the nation to prayer again." He said, "It won't be me, but somebody is." And I didn't realize and didn't know at the time, neither here nor I would have ever dreamed that God would put it on my heart. But God's put it on my heart, and we're calling a solemn assembly, and we're calling it to the nation, to the body of Christ, to the church, the body of Christ, together with us next September, the 28th and the 29th, on the Mall in Philadelphia. The reason we're going to Philadelphia, it's the first capital of the USA. It's the headwaters of this nation. William Penn, that founded that state and wrote the documents out of which came the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, just so many of our writings that governed us, he called it the Holy Experiment, Pennsylvania. And he was a godly Christian man. And so Pennsylvania, out of that has flowed our nation. And we're going there. We're calling the church. We're calling every born-again, blood-washed believer. And we're not going as individual groups. We're going under one name, America for Jesus. Somebody said, what will the motto be? Our motto is going to be prayer changes things. It can't be anything else but that. And we just believe that God is going to heal America. God, it's got to be God. It's no longer who's in the White House. And it's no longer just our financial state. But America is in terrible, terrible trouble. Terrible trouble. And I believe prayer changes things.
Now, certainly, that you are a living, breathing, walking example of that, because in 2010, you were left for dead practically in a hospital you collapsed in West Palm Beach, Florida. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because I think believers all across this nation need to know they cannot give up on their faith in Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wouldn't you say that, Ann? Please tell us that story.
I'll tell you, I'm a living example. Prayer changes things. I collapsed in Florida. We had a minister's retreat. I collapsed, and with no warning at all, my daughter got me into a hospital, and by the time she signed me in, the doctor was coming down the hall, and he said, your mother will not live through this night. This was early January of 1910, and they told her every night that your mother cannot live. She cannot live. I had total organ failure. And they were had me on, life support. They were breathing for me. My heart was down to 10%. And they said, nobody comes back from this. Even young people do not come back from this. But Jensen, prayer changes things. And my daughter would not give up. She stayed with me for 3 months by my side. She wouldn't leave me. And she just kept prayer going. She put it on Facebook. People all over the world were praying for me. And when I did wake up out of the coma 15 days later, I thought I was paralyzed. I couldn't do anything but turn my head. And I was just immobile for almost 3 months. They told my daughter probably the best thing that she could do would be to put me in a nursing home. She said, my mother doesn't belong in a nursing home. My mother preaches 3 times a week with high heels on. I will not put her in a nursing home. And I tell you, I came home with a walker, and I was thankful that I could even move. And little by little by little, I got my miracle. And little by little by little, I gained strength. And today, I am something to be reckoned with, Jensen.
I believe it, and I've seen it. And you are such an inspiration to all of us in the body of Christ and all women in ministry everywhere and men. You've been criticized, or there have been those that have criticized women in the ministry. What would you like to say to that?
Well, Jensen, I wrote this book, Born to Preach, and I really wrote it with every woman, every pastor's wife, every teacher, every young woman that feels that they, too, in their heart, that they're called to preach. They're born to preach, but they think they'll never have an opportunity. And what I want with my book, Born to Preach, I want to say to them, if I'd subtitled it, I would have subtitled it Against All Odds. Nobody ever encouraged me. Nobody ever helped me. Nobody ever opened a door. But Jensen, God was for me and with me, and he opened the doors. And I'm that little girl from the backside of the desert that was the least likely to succeed, but God. And I tell you, the anointing of God will open the right doors for you.
And you received that anointing when you received, in part one of our testimony, the baptism of the Holy Spirit at age 16.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is an absolute, Jensen. You must be anointed. There's a lot of speakers. I'm sorry to say, a lot of preachers. But it's got to be anointed, because the anointed word is that word that we live by that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we've got to hear that anointed word.
And what word would you give us today, Anne, in this new year? I know that we've talked about the rally that you and your husband started 30 years ago, the Washington for Jesus rally, that was a huge, huge success. 500,000 people came out. Then President Ronald Reagan spoke, others spoke. But you have called this nation now. God has put it on your heart to call this nation back to prayer with the motto, prayer changes things. And in our remaining moments here, I would like for you to speak to every pastor, teacher, preacher, apostle, church planter, homemaker, whatever sphere of influence anyone has out there. what they need to do in these days and times. What is God saying?
Jensen, I have such a word in my heart, and I'm writing a book on it, and it's called Resurrection Life Now. And here's what I want to say to people and sow this seed. If when you're born again, you receive eternal life. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive resurrection life. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. And I believe that's what God did. God raised me from the dead. I've got that same Spirit, and I have resurrection life. Jensen, I should have been dead and 6 feet under 2 years ago, but God wasn't through with me. And to every minister, every believer, doesn't matter what your age is, God's not through with us. We're going into a prophetic year, 2012, very prophetic for Israel and for our nation. But remember, if you have that Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of resurrection life living in you, and it quickens your mortal body.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Pastor, Bishop, Evangelist, Author, Ann Jimenez. You can learn more about Ann's incredible story, her testimony, her life, her ministry, by going to www.annjimenez.com, or, and to get her book, Born to Preach, and the upcoming rally, the call to prayer, the solemn assembly that will be held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, September 28th and 29th of this year, 2012. And just in our remaining moments, a prayer to all of us. We are all ears.
Yes, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, awake America to you, God. Let us wake up to you and the Holy Spirit. God, send another great awakening in this century. Send it now. Send it to the church. Send it to America. Send it around the world. And God, use us to be part of it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. God bless you, Bishop Jimenez, and we look forward to having you back on Testimony. I would love for you to come back and share more on your book and your upcoming book. You said Resurrection Life Now. We look forward to that, and we need what you are promoting. We need what God has called you to. Thank you for all you've done all these years for the body of Christ and for all of us all over this globe. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.